To Psalm chapter 8, Psalm chapter 8, and I'm happy for Pastor and his wife. I'm glad they get to get away and rest, glad we could fill in, and God gave me a message some time ago, so I've had a lot of time to chew on it and think about it. It's actually very simple, in its thoughts, but very powerful because of what it is. So we're in Psalm chapter 8, and we'll just read the whole psalm because there's only 9 verses, but we're just going to focus on one verse here. But let's go ahead and read that together. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now that is obviously Psalm of David, Psalm of praise, but I want to focus on the first verse there, the third and fourth word there, it says, Our Lord. If I was going to title the sermon, that's what I would call it, Our Lord. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us as we look at this. Dear God, thank you for our freedom that we have to come worship you. We're thankful for your word that you've given us. We're thankful, God, that you speak to our hearts and that you're not done yet with working in our community. We pray, God, that you would encourage us and help us and give us the things that we need from this. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe I counted the words. I think it's 9 and 10, 10 and 11. We also have the words, Our Lord, up on our theme verse. Yeah, it would be words 10 and 11. Our Lord. Often when we talk about Christianity, we talk about it in a personal way. We should have a personal walk, right? We talk about personally having a testimony of salvation. And there's another glorious truth, and that is that we get to serve God together. The words, Our Lord. I want to just break down the first verse there. Sorry, the last verse, because they basically say the same thing. And in music, if you notice, there's an introduction, and when you land on the last chord, that last note is also the first note. Now, music people, has that happened in every song in a hymn? Or is there occasionally, I think like the Master of the Tempest is Raging doesn't do that, but is that, has to be within the same chord. But so basically where you start or where you finish, you're going to start again, or where you start, you finish. And here we have that same kind of a setup where the psalm starts out, O Lord, our Lord, and it ends with, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When we look at this, we want to break it down, and we look at that first word, just the letter O, just the letter O. Now, that is a interjection, right? It is exclamatory. In Psalm 34:8, I believe we have that in our flip chart, and if we don't, we know the verse. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. But what if we remove the O? It would still say something. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But when we add that O, there is passion. There's fervency added to it. Here we have, we could just say, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. But we have the word O. So my first point is the passion of our Lord, the passion about our Lord, actually. I prayed for something, and then it didn't happen. And I prayed again, and it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, something was supposed to happen. I know God wanted it to happen, and it didn't happen. And guess what happened to me? Entered my passion. God, I've been praying, and it's not happening. I need you to do something, because if you don't, it's going to be bad. Right? See, when I ask God for something, I don't have to ask passionately. God says, ask and you shall receive. Something that, if I use the phrase, ring my bell, I think you would understand what I mean by that. It just, you take it home with you and you keep thinking about it and it keeps coming up and you're like, yeah, that's a good truth. Pastor was talking about durative, right? When he talked about verses in 1 John where he that is born of God doth not commit sin, right? That phrase doesn't literally mean if you are saved that you don't commit sin, just that you're not going to continue to do it. And then he used the reference of ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, the durative tense. And you know, that really got a hold of me, that just that truth, just that explanation. And I took it, and I wasn't frustrated with God, but I was passionate with God. And I said, God, I can't do this. I can't. But you know what? I'm going to ask, and I'm going to keep on asking. And I'm going to knock, and I'm going to keep on knocking. God, I don't know all the answers, so I'm going to seek. And I'm just going to be here, God. And it wasn't like that surprised God, but I think I needed to say it. I needed that to happen in my heart where I'm not letting go. I'm praying through this. This thing has to get answered. See, the passion. When we talk about, oh, Lord, our Lord, it's not just the doctrine of God. He's a person, and there's a passion sometimes that rises in our hearts that says, oh, Lord, not just he is my Lord. Oh, Lord, we have the passion in making requests. We have the passion in praise, right? Sometimes we say, yeah, we can praise him for these things. But then when something breaks through, it's like a fountain that gushes up from the deep, and we want to praise him from our heart, and we can't help it. It's a passion for our Lord. In Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2, he uses the word, oh, again, but also uses other words. It says, hear my cry, O God, right? In Christianity, sometimes we're going to have to cry out. It's not just a time of reading through our list. But God, I don't have words. You got to do something here. And God understands that. God heard your prayer when you asked in faith before. But God also hears your prayer when you have passion, when you ask him, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Just like what I was just saying, I determined in my own life. I might end up somewhere else. I might end up upside down. I might end up, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on knocking. God is a person that wants to hear from us. And Christianity sometimes has that O in it. Maybe we could call it an O prayer, right? Knowing this verse. Now, if I walked up to you and said, have you been praying an O prayer? You'd be like, I have no idea what that is, right? But now that I think I've explained it, that it's a passion. It's time for an O prayer. Oh, God. I worked at FedEx Ground for A&T Transport. I've told this story before, but it fits. The man that was my boss grew up in a Catholic church and knew some of the words but didn't practice it. And to be quite honest with you, it was just, he even said it later, something to the effect of, yeah, you just do that, that's your Sunday thing, and then everybody doesn't even stand around in fellowship. They just go home, right? That was his idea of God and church. And I thought, well, I'm going to invite him. And I invited him to, he was married with a child. And I invited him to a Valentine's banquet. I put the invite in the paperwork, and the next day it was there. Wasn't even a no. It was kind of like, no thanks, don't talk to me. And I didn't know what to do except pray for him to be saved. And that's all I could do every day. So I showed up for work, did an honest day's work for him. And I remember when his life fell apart. I can remember it. He's sitting in my truck on the stairwell, like we have the little sliding door in the FedEx with his head in his hand. And as soon as I got there, you'd have thought I was his best friend. He goes, I need to talk to your pastor. And I'm like, you don't even know my pastor. But his life was falling apart. He knew that there was something. God must have been working on his heart. I was praying for him to be saved. I didn't say anything about church or anything like that. Just God was turning the screws of conviction on him. And after six meetings with my pastor, that hard-hearted man, the fountain broke, and this was his prayer to be saved. Oh, God! That was it. That's an old prayer. That was passion, something connected. It wasn't in his head, it was in his heart. It was real, and he needed it. Now, he'll tell you that that probably wasn't his salvation. He'll say February the 14th of 2014, if I recall correctly. But I think he had to sort some things out doctrinally, and that's when he would have said that he truly put his faith in Christ. But the man that didn't know anything about God sure got a hold of something real, because he would go to his customers and talk about God. He would, one time he was walking through the warehouse there, and he didn't know how to tell people about Jesus. And he's like, hey, y'all need to repent. I mean, something gushed open, right? That's because I would say that he got a hold of God and he had an O prayer. God was working in his life. I heard him tell a testimony at a men's banquet, and he said it better than any of us that grew up in church could, because he didn't know how to say it. He had to speak from his heart, and he was a little bit, he's like, I don't know, but if you're talking about a hard-hearted, hard-headed man, it's right here, and Jesus saved me. If you want to talk about that, I'll talk to you. You know, and you're like, wow, that's for real. When we talk about our Lord, you know, we're not mainstream Christianity. I would say that. I'm not trying to lift ourselves up, but church has become so flippant for people. It's become so seeker oriented. Where are you okay? Do you need to be entertained? You didn't like that, right? But we're here to worship God. It's our Lord, right? And to say on the flip side, if I went to another church that wasn't on fire for the Lord, I would still be preaching to Christians, and it would be about our Lord. Our Lord. Number one is the passion for our Lord. Number two is the person of the Lord. We have the word Lord two times. We're in verse 9, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah, the self-sufficient one. If you see all four letters capitalized, you would not be incorrect in writing in Jehovah, because that's what it means. But then we have capital L, little O, little R, little D, and that means master. That means ruler. Notice there is no explanation. It is assumed. O Lord, our Lord. Yes, Jehovah is both the self-existent one and our master and our ruler. He is Christ, and he has many names. Jacob Christian, we call him Pastor Christian. We call him Brother Christian. We call him Brother Jacob. We call him Mr. Jacob. His wife calls him affectionate names that we won't ask him about. But he is a husband. He is a daddy. He is a son. All the same guy. But when you say a name, you're adding something to what he is, right? He is not my dad. Right? I'm not trying to be funny, but I wouldn't call him that. That's not a relationship. But he is all of those things. And the same is with God. When we call him a name, it's still the same person, but he has many character traits. When we talk about our Lord, we're talking about Jehovah. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the same Lord. Jehovah saves when we say Jesus. He is all of those things. I wrote some things down. He is our creator. He is our comforter. He is our savior. He is our shield. He is our provider. He is our God. When we say, O Lord, our Lord, we're talking about the God of the universe who wants to have a personal relationship. And since we're talking about our Lord, who wants to work through this group of people right here. Our Lord, Mountain Valley Baptist Church's Lord. Not just Daniel's Lord, not just Pastor Christian's Lord, but our Lord. Think about praying for one another. I see the prayer request. I heard about Miss Nita Tonks and the infection. I mean, Jesus, I think I'm not insinuating anything. She just strikes me as a very sweet lady. Anytime you see her, she's pleasant, she's smiling. How are you doing? And when I heard that she had an infection, immediately I'm like, God, I really want to pray for her. And I did. And why? Because it's our Lord. She's part of this body, right? She comes to this church. She's a friend of this church. And so it is our Lord. Not just Mike's Lord and I hope she gets, it's our Lord. When we think about praying for one another, sometimes I don't have the answer. No, strike that. A lot of times I don't have the answer. If Brother Josh came to me and said, can you pray about something? I could do that. But he might have something that I've never heard of, right? A financial problem. I'm not very good with finances. I pay my bills and I have a budget and a plan. But there might be some times where I'm like, I don't know what to do, but I can pray. I can pray for our Lord. I'm glad that God is all of that. I'm not a grandpa, so I don't have that understanding, right? So if someone said, can you pray for my grandson? I would understand that. I would do that when family members don't do the right thing. But there's something missing there because I'm not a grandpa. I'm not in their shoes all the way. So I would pray. I would even pray passionately. But you know what? I don't have to understand everything, but I can go to the one who does, and I can pray to our Lord. I can pray on behalf of John. John, I'm interceding for John. He has a need, and I'm just randomly just looking out and shooting randomly, right? Not necessarily anything specific. But when we go back to our Lord, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thought. Often we hear about our personal walk with God. You can get on that bandwagon of our Lord. When you start having a personal walk with God, you can intercede for others, not just only for yourself. Number three, we have the position. The position. Just recently we had, I don't know, it's a pastor something. Is it a fellowship? Pastor's fellowship. And I was sitting in the back. And I was feeling out of place because I had to come in my costume, my uniform. I was dirty, right? Just got here from work. And but then I started looking around at these guys. I don't even know 50% of them. And this phrase hit me, our Lord. I'm like, oh. So these guys are not in Pocatello. They're in another place, but they're doing the same thing. They're trying to be a light. I'm sure they have struggles. I was talking with Josh Wernicke. There's the struggle that they eminent domained his church, and then they were not fair and gave him half of what it was worth, and they're suing, and they're going through all this, and they're attacking him, persecuting him in a way. They had to get out in 2 weeks. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't think we would do different things here because this is Idaho. But regardless, they found a building and it was kind of rough. But you should have seen the look on his face. He was like excited about it. Oh yeah, God is just doing something phenomenal. When you realize you can't do nothing and you have to trust in God, there's a peace that goes with that. Like, is it for me to figure out? Because there isn't. I'm doing everything that I can. And I said, no, brother, I'm going to pray for you. That sounds like spiritual warfare to me. So I've been praying for him. But I was thinking about that. It's our Lord. We saw something magnificent here. All right? Don't get tired of it. Don't get tired of it. Remember, we met over there, and we didn't know what to do, and boom, 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 boom. It happened so fast. Like, I wish I would have kept the journal because of all the things that kept happening. And boom. And it strikes me in my flesh sometimes. Do you get this way? Can I just be transparent? Do you get this way? Sometimes are you tempted to think that you're a little more special than other Christians because God did that? Can I ask that? You don't have to shake your head. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're more spiritual than me, but sometimes you're like, wow, God did something for us. And that should be something we praise him for, okay? I'm not trying to belittle that. But at the end of the day, we don't even deserve this. We're in the same boat as everyone. So I was down in Ogden preaching, telling them just a few highlights about what God did in our church. They're going through some struggles, and I just wanted to be an encouragement to them. And then it hit me. I said, man, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable up here. I'm starting to feel like they think that I think that I'm special and that they're not because they're struggling. So I just stopped. I was like, you know, we didn't do anything. It was all God. you know, when we go pass out tracts, you guys are doing that too. So God just decided to do it for us. And I just want you to know he's a big God. And when we pass out tracts and you pass out tracts, we're just doing the same thing. God's just chosen a different journey for you at this time. So don't get discouraged. Wherever you go, I told them, hey, let your light shine. God wants to do something big. There's obviously spiritual warfare going on, which is a good sign that God wants to do something special, and the devil doesn't like it. When we talk about our position, it's all about him, not about us attaining some kind of Christianity, right? We want to be clean. We want to be holy. We want to praise him. We want to grow. And God is special. So when you think about a missionary just starting out, and maybe he doesn't have the personality of other people, a missionary or a church planter going out, and maybe you see, well, they're not perfect, but they're good people, right? Guess what? I'm excited. Where's Elijah? I'm excited for Elijah. Elijah Whitaker feels called to preach. I say he feels. He believes he's called to preach and wants to start a church. Know why I'm excited for him? We look at him and say, well, he's kind of a young guy. You know what? If God calls you, you go and God does it, right? You don't attain some kind of, I mean, we have to be mature. There's a growth period. There's wisdom in that. But at the end of the day, God did this. Wasn't because, and I'm going to say this, and I know that I can because I know Pastor Whitaker. It wasn't because Pastor Whitaker has some kind of special way of starting churches. He just said, God, I'm going to obey you. Let's go. Let's go. Now, I would say that we can get in the way of that, right? If I'm lazy and I don't do what God wants me to do, or I don't stay clean, God's not going to bless us. But the fact that he did bless us, it was just God being good. It's our Lord. When we go to see Elijah, wherever God leads him, right? I'm excited about that because we pray for him and God does it again. And I believe God wants to do it again and again and again. Men have to get a hold of God and they have to follow God in whatever way that is. And maybe the fruit isn't going to be the same, but God's still good and God is still great and God wants to do great things. When you look at things, they're impossible. Perfect. Perfect scenario for our Lord to do something big. When we think about this, when we see God work, we see a part of his character that is great. When we pray, our faith is strengthened. When we pray for others, we take that strengthened faith and are able to intercede for others' peoples in need because he is my Lord and our Lord. What unites us? What unites us? Jason isn't. He said he wasn't going to be able to be here, and I was going to pick on him. Well, he isn't here. I'm still going to pick on him, right? He's my friend. We pray for one another. He's an attorney. He's a lawyer. I'm a truck driver. Very, very different. I'm glad he's an attorney. I wouldn't want to be one, right? I like getting my hands dirty, and he probably says that he does, right? But we're just... What's the thing that unites us then? When Wayne walks in here, we got truck driver stories. Hey, man, I was going down I-15, and I said, oh, yeah, I know about them four. You know, we're on the same page mentally. We connect right away because we do the same thing. When I was the FedEx guy, all those other delivery drivers, FedEx Express, UPS, there was a little company called Speedy. You're waving at those guys because you know what they're going through. Christmas time gets crazy. Right? Most FedEx drivers and UPS drivers start out with hair, and by the time Christmas is over, they're all bald, right? We just stress, man. Christmas Eve, right? Hey, I'm gonna tell you, cover your kids' ears if you believe in Santa Claus. There is no Santa, no way. Because I delivered to a town of 10,000 people, and it took me 10 hours, and I didn't even get it all done. So some fat man in a sleigh can't do the whole world. There is no Santa, no way. Not possible. Anyway, I see those guys going through it, and that unites us, right? We can have coffee, even if we don't even go to church together. When we talk about our Lord, what unites us? Zeke's going through it. Daniel's going through it. Brother Griswold's going through it. Boom. It's our Lord. Why are we here? Because we like this book. We like what God does when we obey this book. We want to see our community reached. There are other Christians in town. And I will say this, that even if they go somewhere else and they're saved, it's still our Lord. Amen? I can still, I don't try to pick a doctrinal fight, right? You're a saved man? Amen. Let your light shine. Because at the end of the day, this is what's going to change us right here. It's our Lord. But in this church, we are united. We love our preacher, I believe. I say believe because I don't know. I haven't heard anybody say they don't. But we're going forward. We like it. We like being told that, hey, you're not quite right in this area. We want to know what the Bible says. If pastor thought something was wrong with me and he didn't preach about it, I'd be really disappointed. You're supposed to be my pastor and tell me what God wants me to hear, right? But I do know him, and that's exactly what he does, right? It's our Lord. What unites us? That. The love for God's word, the love for God as a person, the love for, it doesn't matter where you come from, when you walk through those doors, you're a guest, and we want to help you in any way that we can. It's our Lord. Interesting that the Bible in Genesis talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You ever think about that? Like, isn't that kind of like undercutting who God is to say that? You ever thought about that? The God of Abraham, well, he's the God of everybody. And isn't there a whole bunch of God left over after Abraham's faith? But at the same time, it's what we're called to be, that person. And I don't know who God is, but Mike's got a God that does something. I don't know who God is, but Andy's God, man, when he prays, God answers him. And we know that's not Andy. We know that's because of the blood of Christ that we have access to God. But the point is that people don't know who God is. There are Christians that haven't experienced that personal relationship or that breakthrough. Yeah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a testimony. Hey, there's a lot of God he wants to do, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. Just a way to explain that my faith is what it is, and it can be bigger. Because God's greatness is unsearchable. We're not going to find the end of it. Wow, God did this, that. Yeah, but we're not done. When we look at the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Right? We could also say, where is the Lord God of creation? Because he spoke everything into existence. Why does he say that? Because Elijah was God's man, and he stood against everybody. And God did wonderful, wonderful works through the man of God. But you know what? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. There was more of God left after he called down fire from heaven. Interesting, huh? When we talk about the Lord God of Elijah, we can talk about the Lord God of Mountain Valley Baptist Church. Yeah, there were some people that were like, never going to get saved. They said, never coming to church. Yeah, they've been here three services already, right? It wasn't because we're a salesman for Christianity. It was because we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and God did something. Where's the Lord God of Mountain Valley Baptist Church? But the wonderful thing about that is there's a lot of God left over. His greatness is unsearchable. We're not done. When we're praying, what's about to happen in 2024? I mean, everybody loves to sensationalize that. People get on edge and tense and worried. And guilty of that, by the way, because we don't know. You're not really sure what to expect. The world is definitely a different place than when I was a kid, and other people would say the same thing. But at the same time, God is, he hasn't come back yet. He still has a plan for our lives. He still has a plan for this church. Sometimes we read the stories, and we know the ending, so we're not scared. Be Elijah. Be Elijah. Not Elijah Whitaker, Elijah of the Bible. Be Elijah. You're standing there, and you're about to take on 450 prophets of Baal, and water is scarce. And God's told you to be that spokesperson, right? You're supposed to be the prophet. I don't know about you, but you don't know the end. You don't. I'm putting myself there. You don't know the end. Okay, we know the end because we read the story and we're like, yeah, that's a great story. But there is no Bible story about 2024 where we can read the end and know what's going to happen. It might get really scary, quote unquote. It might get really bumpy and turbulent. But in all of that, remember the Lord God of Elijah. Remember the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know that they had physical promises for land and that, but at the end of the day, God says, if we call unto him, he will answer and show great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm preaching the Bible. I don't know what's going to happen. But just that whole, when there's uncertainty, it's okay, because God's greatness is unsearchable. When we're praying, it's our Lord. When I looked at those pastors sitting there, lots of different people. I mean, there were some my kind of people, right? I'm from Missouri. My dad's family's from the Ozarks, right? Some good old boys. And I was talking to some of them, I'm like, yeah, you know, those are kind of the people that I grew up with. And then there were some others that just, they carry themselves well, right? They're dressed right. They're good men. I'm not judging. I'm just saying the flavors of different people. But all of them, God's called them to a city with unique circumstances. And I was excited. I was excited because all over, these guys are from Idaho and Utah. Like my neighbors. It's just a two-hour drive. I could be at most of them. And these guys are out there doing for the work. They're doing the work of the Lord. And I can pray for them because we serve God together. It is our Lord. When a missionary comes, we got a bunch of them on the back. We've added some more. We're praying for the Blancos, praying for the church in Fort Hall. We're praying for the Filipino guy. I don't think we took him on. But just all these guys, they're letting their light shine. They're giving the gospel every day. It happened today. They got up in the church pulpits and preached. Now I can't remember the name. The Nitin is his first name, and I pray for them. But I can't remember the guy from India. It'll come to me. But those missionaries, they're halfway around the world. And they're giving the gospel. And we can pray for our Lord to do a work. Now I have one picture that probably some of you might know because you've been in a foreign country, like Brother Andy, Belize. I was in Cambodia. Phnom Penh is the capital, and Siem Reap is the city with Angkor Wat. Angkor Wat was one of the seven wonders of the world, so everybody came. I mean, everybody. A lot of Asian, right? So I met people from Malaysia, Singapore. Of course, there's the Vietnamese. They're kind of looked down upon. The Thai people, they look just like the Cambodians because they used to be one people. But I met people from Japan. I met people from Australia, from South Africa, some Americans. Americans are fascinating in other countries. You know why? They're rich, but you don't know it, right? Americans, they just look like regular tourists. But I asked somebody that. I'm like, how do you know if they're Americans? You don't. You don't. You got to go up and talk to them and ask them. They're not there flashing their money. I just thought that was interesting. Not it has anything to do with the sermon. But all the people, they're there. There was a missionary group, and one of them, Sikh. I'm going to say it wrong. But the Hindu type thing. And I would go up to him, and I had a little piece of paper. I would say, how do you say hello in your language? And they would tell me. I'd write it down. How do you say goodbye? How do you say thank you? So I had hello, goodbye, thank you. And I got up to seven or so languages. So when I find out, I'm like, hey, I got something. Let me just try it out, you know. And recently I was thinking about that. What's heaven going to look like? Like Siem Reap? Not the architecture, but the people. You ever stop and think about that? The Chinese old lady that prayed for the people that are being martyred, she's going to be there. She's probably going to be rewarded greatly. Although we don't think of her like that because we're Americans, and when people struggle, we're not being narrow, but just our mindset. That was one thing that I appreciated about going to Cambodia. There was the great thing of serving the Lord and finding out what it feels like to be a missionary and experience those things. You go for 2 weeks, it's a trip. You live there for a year, you miss Christmas and all the holidays, and it's a very different experience. But the other thing it did, it was it opened my mind up to people are people. But they got a lot of different cultures in that, right? They think differently. Like, we're independent. Other countries, they're collective. And it just affects everything, right? But just thinking about what heaven's going to be like, it's not going to look like Pocatello. I mean, but that's what we're used to. You go down the street, you're like, yep, there. Look at that guy wearing a plaid shirt and a big beard. Yep, that guy's from Idaho, right? Look at that. But you're going to go to heaven, and there's going to be Indian people and Chinese people and African people, and I'm just rattling them all off. Heaven's going to look real different. And it just dawned on me. But here, I'm going to come back full circle. If you're saved, it's our Lord. When you think about those people that are struggling and they have nothing, when they get saved, it's our Lord. We are equal. When we go to pray, I hope we understand something. That we've experienced this already, tapping the greatness of God. Not just, yeah, there's times when we pray passionately, but that God wants to work and move in such a mighty way. And I feel like, whoa, almost like when you take a side-by-side and you go down Black Rock Canyon and you wind back and you come up and you're on the backside of Chinese Peak. My wife and I were doing that, and I was like, boom. Oh, wow, there's mountains here I've never seen before. Because you can't get there by car. You have to side-by-side or hike. Almost kind of feel like that's God. Like, I know what I know, and oh, wow, there's like a whole bunch more that God wants to do. He wants to use me, and I can be self-deprecating, and really, I'm just not putting my faith in God. It isn't about my abilities. It's about my faith in God. I don't think it could be done. Do it anyway. When I pray, that seems impossible. He is our Lord. He is our comforter. He is our defender. He is our provider. He is our God. Lastly, we have the passion with the word O, the person which is the Lord, and the position which is our Lord. And then lastly, we have the comparisons here. It says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How excellent. That's superlative, right? You have good, better, and best. What kind of Christianity is Mike Simmons experiencing? Is it good? Yeah, because you start doing right, it's good. And then you break through and you learn to walk with God on a daily basis. And then it's not just good, it's better. It's better than good. And then you break through and you have victory and God does some mighty things. And it's better than that. Well, we would say best. I don't know. Best. That almost sounds like the finish line. But when we look at God, he isn't just good. He is good. That's his character. But it says how excellent. When you think of excellent, you think of a Lincoln Town Car fully loaded. Right? Unless you don't like Lincoln Town Cars like me. I feel like I'm getting in a pod, right? I want a truck. Give me some room to jump in there and stretch out. But you know, but right, cars and trucks have that, right? When I saw Brother Brown's truck, I had to say a verse, thou shalt not covet. Man, you got it. This thing is loaded. Does it make coffee too? Does it? No, I don't remember. But just that there's some things that are just a notch up, right? It's first class. When we think about God, his name is excellent. It's the best. But that's because he is excellent. In all the earth, the battle of the gods. There's the Hindu god, which isn't a god, it's many gods. Hinduism is many religions, and it's all good, right? Then there's the Buddha. Well, there's the Chinese Buddha. He's the fatter one, and the Cambodian one is skinny. I don't know if that's related to how they eat or what, but if you ever see a fat Chinese Buddha, it's a Chinese one. If you see a skinny one, it's... But they even have kind of some mixed things. But you know what? Buddha's gone. He's not interceding. They call out to the spirits, hoping, crossing their fingers. Never really sure if they quite get there. Right? Who is our God? Alive, reigning, protecting, aware of every single thing with each one of us in here, as well as all Christians around the world, simultaneously about the lost people and drawing them. I mean, that's our God, not made with stones. Isn't that kind of funny? I need something to worship. Hey, let's carve out this thing, and we'll pray to it. I mean, if you stop and think about it, it's like, that's dumb. But you know, to be fair, that's all they know. Their mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas told them that's what you're going to do, and so that's just what they do. And it's very important. And the devil is out there, too. It's not just like religion is logic and not logic. There's a spiritual battle going on there. They're in bondage. They're being deceived. But that's not us. Our Lord is excellent. His excellent is thy name. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. All of the earth. When you go to Cambodia, it takes a while because they don't understand who God is. One day I asked my landlord, and I'm like, hey, where did you come from? And he kind of looked at me, you know, like he was about to say, my mom and dad. I'm like, no, let's back up. Where's the first man and first woman? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, the Bible tells us that it came from Adam and Eve. And he goes, okay, fine. We all came from Buddha. I'm like, no, you can't do that. You can't pull that answer out of your back pocket because you don't have one. It wasn't Buddha. You can't prove that. And I knew him well enough to talk to him like that. I wasn't being down on him. But I was like, you can't do it. You don't know. Hey, but that's why we're there, right? And it takes about, we have a Bible study, 20 minutes for 6 weeks. You don't do it every day. You do it once a week. Give them time to think on it. And I remember one of my English students, he got saved. And he was like, how come everybody doesn't know this? And we're like, well, when we came here, you didn't know this, you know. But to be fair, we told you, and yeah, it's going to be some work to get other people to, for some of them, they're giving up who they are, right? If you're Cambodian, you're Buddhist, even if you don't practice it. But the truth is that people did get saved. In all the earth, God is, his name is excellent. When we pray, let's remember, it is my Lord. It is my Lord. How is your personal walk with God? Right? It's fun. It's fun to pray for impossible things. It's just fun. Part of it, I think, is the fact that I don't have to do it. Right? That's one of the things I'm praying about. God, you gave me a job to do. I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't know. But I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep asking, I'm going to keep seeking, I'm going to keep knocking, and I'm not letting go. I'm just not letting go. You know what? God's not annoyed. Isn't that great that our God loves that he wants to hear? No, if my kids want a piece of candy, it's not going to take very many askings before I get annoyed. Right? Can I have a piece of candy? I don't. If I say, I don't know. Now, if I say no, then we have a different problem, right? Don't ask again. But if I'm like, I don't know, and after a while they keep asking, I'm kind of annoyed, like, okay. No, just no, right? Or fine, go ahead. But with God, he's not like that. And Zeke can do it, and Pastor Christian can do it. And let's pick on Daniel and Zach. We can all do it at the same time. God, we do this. He's not annoyed. God is good. He's our creator. He's our comforter. He's our savior. He's our shield. He's our provider. He is our God. What do I need in my life? A personal relationship with him. So I need him. And you're going to get what I'm saying when I'm done. So don't go aha yet, okay? Do I need Zeke? Nope. I don't. I need him. But what did God give us? Us. As a church, us. Brother Terry comes in, and he's got his job, right? He's got it down. I'm not lifting him up, right? Ushers are very important, and he knows what he's supposed to be doing. And he probably knows this, but when he shakes and he's happy to see me, I needed that sometimes. I just needed that, to be honest with you. He's happy to see me. The guys at work ain't happy to see me, but boy, I can come here and he's actually happy to see me. And Jason comes up and shakes my hand, and my whole body goes up and down when he does it because he's got that big mammoth hand. Hey, brother! But I look forward to that. I'm waiting for Jason's big hand to shake and squeeze and make my fingers turn purple. But then he goes, praying for you.
Yes.
You know what? God allows us to, quote unquote, need each other. At the end of the day, yes, we need God. But what did God give us?
Us.
He gave us our pastor. Pray for our pastor, right? He's a good man. He is a man who puts his hand in the plow and doesn't look back. He's a man who seeks after God, and it hurts him when he has to do what he has to do sometimes. But we ought to be thankful that God has given him to be our pastor. Now, if God has called you to another place, that's great, because it's God guides you, right? This isn't the only place God can work, right? I used to say, I don't know any other place. Well, then I had to shut up, right? Because there probably is one where people have got a hold of God, and you listen to testimonies of people, God's working in their church in a mighty way too. So it would be very almost prideful to say that there isn't another place. Where else would I go? I said it that way because I'm supposed to be here. Like, why would I leave this? At times, I don't like it. Because, you know, I got kids in school. And guess what? They get in trouble. Well, that's what's supposed to happen. If they have character flaws, they're going to get in trouble. Hello? And sometimes you're uncomfortable because now you got to look at it, and then you got to explain to them, and kids don't understand. And it's almost like, oh, wish this. But if I didn't go here and I went somewhere else, they would have the character problems, but I wouldn't know it because nobody would be telling me. So guess what? I'm thankful that I'm here. And if God moves you somewhere else, I'll be excited because he's my God wherever he leads me. But because I'm here, God has given us. And I'm thankful for the teachers that say the things that they need to say, even if I don't feel comfortable, right? But that's good. When they don't practice and they get in trouble, well, guess what? The real world's coming. They're going to be adults, and they better just get used to you're expected to do something. So just do it, right? So I'm thankful. But God has given us. We go back, just like the hymns. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is the name in the earth. And it comes full circle. Verse 9, oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Purpose of this is just to focus on the fact that when we pray and we intercede for others, to be excited, that we can intercede for other people, that there's things in my life that God wants to show himself again. You know, the bus ministry can be discouraging because it's doing things. I'm here to serve God. Whatever happens, God, we're gonna be back next Saturday knocking on doors for you, Lord. And we're gonna pray that you do something because we can't, but we're gonna serve you. Amen. I've invited my neighbors to church many times. They haven't come yet. I'm gonna pray to our Lord, and you guys can pray with us that people will come. That's a wonderful thing on Saturday night when we get together and we share prayer requests. Sometimes it's Saturday night. I work 60 hours. It's cold. You know what? Pastor said we don't have to be there. I could call it family time. Mike, just go to prayer. Yeah, that's where I should go. And I show up and it doesn't always have to be a miraculous moment like, whoa, I know why I came. No, I'm supposed to come when I can and pray, even when I don't feel it, because it's at the end of the day, it's our Lord that we're praying to that he does something. So when you're doing your personal time, I hope you remember We have access to God for ourselves and for one another. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for being our Lord. God, we are flesh. You made us out of dust. You remember that our frame is but dust. And we get weary and we get sidetracked. But we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the preachers that get up here and give the message that you want us to hear. Help us, God, just to grow. We're supposed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Help us, God, to love you and love one another one step further. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would stand at your seats.